Well, Merry Christmas to you. And Christmas is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it isn't. For stress and for anxiety, we look around and we say, this is Christmas, it's supposed to be fun. But for some, it's not. As you look in your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open to Luke chapter 1 as we remind ourselves of what joy is. Joy is a great pleasure and or happiness. It's not found in our happenings. You could say, I'm having a good morning. I'm happy this morning. Well, that could be the donut that you had. It could be the coffee that you had. It could be the second cup of coffee that you had. It could be the third cup of coffee that you had. Do I need to keep going? It could be the fourth cup of coffee that you've had. Happiness is not found in our happenings. I'm sorry, happiness is found in our happenings, but joy is ultimately found in Jesus Christ. And as you look at Christmas, sometimes you miss Christmas by all that's going around. You miss the joy and the happiness of Christmas. So as we look at the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, this week we're going to look at Mary. And I thought about some of the things that cause us to lose joy at Christmas. And I thought sometimes we have stress at Christmas, which led me to Google the top 10 stresses of 2022. Now I'm looking for some back and forth from you this morning of what do you think a stress is in 2022? I don't want you to talk about your stress. I want you to talk about the stress that you think the person beside you, in front of you, or behind you is going through. I don't want you to talk about yourself. Talk about somebody else. Then you'll talk to me, okay? Okay, that's 0 for 1. All right. So what do you think are some stresses or stressors in 2022?
Money.
Money, finances, good. What else?
Health,
good. What else?
Mandates,
okay. I'm sorry? Money, good. What else?
Employment,
good. What else?
Time,
good. Some of the things that we have, so I went to Google, and you know Google's never wrong, so that caused some of you stress. You're welcome. This is according to Google. Some of you are already ready to walk out. Just wait till I offend you, then walk out. Number 6 stress is pollution or climate changes. Please don't look at me that way. This is according to Google. Take it up with Google. Number 5 is a world war, possibility of a world war. Number 4 stress in 2022 is the death of a family member. Number 3 stress is Russia goes nuclear. I was like, yeah, that's pretty relevant. Number 2 is that there is a serious illness in the family. The number 1 stress in 2022. We all waited with bated breath. Corruption in the government. Let's just close our time in a word of prayer, because if looks could kill, many of you have killed me. Some of your faces I didn't know could do that. That is amazing. We have stress. Just to put it into perspective, number 7 and 8 had to do with economy, finances, personal payment of bills. You may see this and you may go, that is the worst list ever. Some of you would say, I have 4, 5, 6 of those stresses, and you keep adding to it because I'm under so much pressure. With all these stresses, there is absolutely no way I could find joy in Christmas. Well, I'd like you to be in Luke chapter 1, because today we're going to look at Mary. Mary is under a tremendous amount of pressure and stress. She's 13 to 16 years old. She is pregnant during the time of her betrothal. And the worst case scenario is that the people find her guilty. They drag her out into the streets in front of her home. They take stones and they throw stones at her until she dies a painful, agonizing, long, drug-out death. Her family goes through the emotional turmoil. The best case scenario is that Mary is kicked out and or shunned from her family, her neighborhood, her people, her community, and she has to start fresh at anywhere from 13 to 16 years old. Do you think Mary's under a little bit of pressure and stress? By now you should be in Luke chapter 1 to really set this up for where I want to go. I want to take you to verses 34 through 36. The angel comes to Mary and says to Mary, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary says, I just don't understand. Mary is not at a place of disbelief. Mary is in a place of not understanding. I don't quite understand how this is all going to work out. So the angel says in verse 34, how can this be since I don't know a man? And the angel says in 35, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you and you will become pregnant with the Son of God. Friends, again, we see this powerful truth that Jesus was born of a virgin. And if God says it, I believe it. And that settles it. Again, I come back to, if God made heaven and earth by the power of his word, if he can create man from the dust of the ground, why couldn't he put life in the womb of a woman? I don't have a problem with that. Some people do. I don't want to speak down to that. I believe it because God's word settles it, and that's it for me. So underline that verse. That's important. Verse 36, the angel tells her, hey, guess what? You're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a baby. God's going to put it there. And then he gives her some, I'm going to call it external confirmation. He looks at Mary and says, hey, your relative, Elizabeth, your cousin Elizabeth, who is older in years, who has been called barren, will have a child. Now she's going to have it the natural way. She's going to become pregnant the natural way. But God is saying, don't you worry. I am giving extra confirmation to you outside of yourself. Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age, and she is 6 months pregnant. Hold on to that. We'll come back and get that in about 20 minutes. Let's look at the rest of the verses. In verse 37, 38, and 39, Mary's response is, let it be so. This is wonderful. You tell me, I'll walk in obedience. Verse 39, Mary says, I need to go see Elizabeth. I want to go and make sure that Elizabeth is pregnant. I need that confirmation. So Mary, she gets up and she starts on her trail. In verse 39, she walks to visit Elizabeth. She walks anywhere from 60 to 80 miles. So we're going to pause the service and we're all going to get up and we're going to walk to Augusta. Who's willing to lead the way? I see that one hand. Okay, good. We'll take you up. And we'll stop. You bye. Okay, you bye. Okay, some would say it's 80 miles away. Well, the best place I have is Freeport. Freeport is 90 miles away. Who's willing to walk to Freeport? You still willing to go with me, bud? He's ignoring me, so that's a no. Okay, he's not willing to walk to Freeport. But that's the length that Mary walked as she went to visit Elizabeth. And she had all of these questions. She had all of these concerns. So if you look at 39, she walked down. She got there. We'll just call it Augusta. She got to Augusta. She walks into the house. She has this greeting. She says, hi, Elizabeth. Elizabeth automatically turns to her and says, how is it that the mother of my Lord would come visit me? Check. Elizabeth spoke truth into Mary. And then what happened inside of Elizabeth at 6 months old? The bouncing baby boy, he starts to get excited. John the Baptist, he's kicking in the womb. And Elizabeth says, whoa, my baby's kind of active right here. Check, Elizabeth is pregnant. After all of that, Mary walks in. That confirmation is happening. Mary's response starts in verse 46. It's called the worship song. It's called the Magnificent. It's also known as a psalm or hymn to magnify or glorify God. Out of all that is going on in Mary's life, out of all those stresses, out of all those worries, Mary's response is worship. And in verses 46 to 56, she's going to turn her worry into worship. Let's look and see what we can learn from Mary. In verses 46 through 49, Mary's going to rely on God's word. And again, I want you to remember, Mary is 13 to 16 years old. What were you thinking about? How was your faith at 13 to 16 years old? This challenged me this morning, because as I look back at 13 to 16 years old, I was not tracking this way. And so be blessed and encouraged and also challenged with the faith of Mary at 13 years old as she relies on God's word. Mary says in verse 46, so Mary said, so who's speaking? Okay, very good. Thank you. Mary is speaking and she says, my soul exalts the Lord. Who or whom is this song sung to? Is it sung to Mary? No, it is sung to who? It's sung to God. Out of a response of all that God is doing in and through her, Mary's response is worship. What Mary is saying is, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. All of us have said that at one time or another. Something has happened in your life and you have said, whew, thank you, Jesus. Whether it was that car that cut in front of you and didn't hit you, whether it was the meeting with the boss that you thought you were going to get the pink slip and you got the bonus, you go on and on and on and on. You went and said, thank you, Lord. That's what Mary's doing. Mary is turning and saying, God, I am here to worship you and to magnify, glorify you. She says, my spirit has rejoiced. I want to pull this word apart, and rejoiced, you find the word joy. Among her stress as she walked from 60 to 80 miles. Friends, I can barely walk 60 to 80 feet, let alone 60 to 80 miles. And she comes after a weary journey and she says, hi, Elizabeth. And all that happens and her stress and her worry is quickly turned to worship and joy. And she's singing or saying this, God, you are worthy of praise. My spirit has joy in God, my Savior. Mary recognizes and realizes she needs help, that she needs somebody to help her in her spiritual state. And she humbles herself and says, God, you are the one that needs to be praised. You are the one that needs to be honored. For God has regarded for the humble state. Mary is looking at this saying, I am Mary, I am humble. Mary's not looking around saying, it's okay. Mary's here, I'll figure it out. It's okay, Mary's here, I've got it covered. Mary's looking at this going, God, you have regard for me, Mary. Somebody of humble beginnings. Someone that's just normal, average Mary who continues to walk in obedience. She says, you have regard for your humble state of your bond servant or slave. When you have a bond, you have a debt. Mary looks at God and says, God, you have this humble state because I am in debt. What debt does Mary have? Well, she realizes she has offended a holy God. And she knows that God has a plan. And it comes to her and she says, God's working his plan through me. Me of all people, God's going to use. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. We look at Mary and we think this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we hold her in high regard. But friends, when she's living right now in what she's in, 13 to 16 years old, unmarried and pregnant, people are looking at her going, look at that Mary. Look at her. And she's the latest news on the TMZ, where people gossip about her. But she is able to say, I'm looking at eternity and not looking at earth. She says, people are going to look at me and they're going to consider me blessed. She's able to not focus on the here and now. She's able to focus on the eternal plan of God. She says, the mighty one, God, has done great things for me. Notice who's in control of Mary's life. Mary is not telling God, God, this is what you need to do. Mary is looking at God and she's saying, I'm holding on for the ride. It's your will be done. You are doing great things for me, and holy is your name. God, I am here to worship you. I'm here to honor you for all you are doing. God, I'm here to give you praise. And it's coming from a girl that's 13 years old. One commentator put it this way. He said, there is a beautiful balance in Mary's hymn of praise. She expressed the humble recognition of the greatness and holy nature of God. God is perfect. God is without sin. And he has a plan. And Mary acknowledges that plan, the plan of God. But she also understands and sees God's grace on Mary, that he is here to minister and meet the needs of Mary. And the ultimate need is through her womb, which she will birth the Savior of the world, the hope of Israel. That Israel has been waiting and hoping for centuries and centuries, and now that hope is in her womb. The first question I have for you as we think about the stresses and worries and pressures of Christmas, the first question I have for you is, am I relying on God's word during difficult times? When your times of stress, of anxiety come, oftentimes for me, I won't speak for you, for me, I take my focus off eternity and I put it on the earthly. And I begin to wring my hands and I think about, oh no, what's God going to do? Maybe God needs my help. Maybe God's not sure what's happening. And I forget the truth of God's word. I forget what God has said and done in his word because I've taken my eyes off of Christ and I've put them on my crisis. And so this morning, friends, how about you? Are you relying on God's word during the times of worry, during the times of anxiety? During the times of unknowing, are you taking your eyes off of eternity and putting it on earth? Mary helps us learn something else in verses 50 through 53. She remembers God's promises. So let's look at verses 50 through 53. Mary is continuing to say or sing this, and she says, and God's mercy is to generation after generation. Let me pause right there. In a moment of vulnerability with you, it took me about 3 or 4 times to read through this before it finally clicked. I say the same thing to you each Sunday. Open your Bibles too. Open your Bibles too. Get out your copy of God's Word, and you either have a paper copy or you have an electronic copy. Mary does not have a copy of God's Word. Mary doesn't have a scroll. Mary is remembering the truth of God's word in her mind. And that's something that challenged me and convicted me, because she took time to memorize God's word. And she says, God's mercies is from generation after generation. He's been faithful from the beginning. He's been faithful in the middle. He'll be faithful now to those who fear him, to those that walk in reverence of God and say, you are God. I need to have a holy awe and fear. I also need to have a respect of God. There's a fear of God, there's a respect of God, and some commentators say in this instance, it's a faith in God. God will show mercy to those who walk in obedience, to those that put their faith and trust in him. And so I would ask you, are you putting your faith and trust in God? And if not, what are you putting your faith and trust in? Mary's going through this, I'm going to call it a crisis. And she's turned her worry, where she's holding on, going, oh no, what am I going to do? She's turned her hands over and said, God, it's all yours. You've got a plan. And it's because she put faith and trust in God. God has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. If you want to write in verse 51 and 52, Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. God continues to bring people into leadership who love and obey him. And again, this is coming from a 13-year-old who is trusting and knowing the truths of God's word. God has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who were humble. Daniel chapter 4. Mary's sitting here with this knowledge of going, God, you are doing great things in me, and you're doing great things in Elizabeth. My response, therefore, is worship. You are mighty. God, you have a plan. Certainly, you elevate those that love you, and you humble those that don't walk in obedience to you. God, you've got a plan. And one thing that I've been challenged in the last couple weeks is to remember the promises of God in my own life. When I have prayer requests, I'm so busy praying about the next thing, I forget to remember the blessings and the answers to prayer that God has already given me. And I'm so busy pushing forward, I forget to reflect on the faithfulness of God. And God has been faithful through generation. And Mary is singing this, saying this, 13 years old, looking and remembering God's word, saying, God, you're exalting those that are walking in humility. God, you are helping to fill the hungry with good things. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Friday was a really difficult day in the Brown house. I was home, and I had a hankering. I was hungry for something. What was it? Well, that's where my story comes in. You ever hear and read the book, The Hungry Caterpillar? Let's change that to The Hungry Tom, and that's pretty much how it went Friday. Started with peanut butter. To the glory of Jesus, to scoop peanut butter, and I ate it. But that wasn't it. Hey, there was some fluff. Let's go with fluff, peanut butter and fluff. That is wonderful. That wasn't it. Well, let's go with chocolate. Chocolate wasn't it. And by this time, Holly's like, what are you looking for? I don't know. She goes, how about a carrot? Yeah, that's not going to cut it. Don't clap for that. It only encourages her. She goes, how much are you going to eat? I will eat until I find it. She goes, well, I got some of that skinny popcorn. Friends, there's no such thing as skinny popcorn. You could try that. That's an idea, but that's not it. She goes, oh, well, what are you looking for? I don't know. She goes, there's popcorn down in the car. I said, oh, yeah. None of that healthy stuff, extra butter. Oh, yeah, I can see that. Oh, you going to go get it? You want me to go get it, honey? Yeah, it was my idea, okay. So I'm gone, and I can feel the popcorn in my stomach. I can feel that hunger being satisfied. And I went down into the garage. Abby took the car to school. There is no popcorn. So I did the only thing I knew to do. I went back up and restarted with the peanut butter. I went back and hit the fluff. You're looking at me in judgment. Don't. And she got home and I had that popcorn. And it was so buttery. Finger licking good. And it's just what I needed. Some of you are here in the spirit of Christmas going, there's something missing. I've tried the peanut butters of the world. I've tried the fluff of the world. I've tried the chocolate of the world. But there's something missing in my life. It's Jesus, the hope of Israel. And if you're here craving, I'd love to introduce you to the man named as Jesus, who out of his great love for you came and was born of a virgin. His very reason for life was death 33 years later, so that you could have life everlasting. If you have come here hungry, leave here filled with the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. Don't walk out those doors until you've met the one that will satisfy you, not physically, but relationally, with you as a sinful person and a holy God. His name is Jesus Christ. Mary has said, he'll satisfy every need with good things, things of eternal difference. And he sent away the rich empty-handed. The second question I have for you, are you trusting in God's promises during the difficult times? When you go through times of trial and of tribulation and of crisis, is your first turn towards self? I need to do this by myself. Or are you looking to the truth and the promises of God's word? You cannot count on the promises of God if you don't know the promises of God. And are you taking time to look into God's word and to be challenged by God's word and to remember the promises of God? I am so glad that God is faithful to me when I am faithless to him. And Mary's singing this song saying, Israel, you are faithless to him. You walk away from him, and yet God continues to be faithful to you and gives you what you need to satisfy that craving. His name is Jesus Christ. Mary therefore walks in obedience in verses 54 through 56. He has given help to his servant Israel. Israel continues to come close to God. They say, God, I want that relationship with you. After years, they walk away. They fade away. They get into trouble. They say, God, we're sorry. God restores them to relationship because he continues to remember his mercy towards Israel. Mary, 13 years old, sings this song saying, I remember and know how you treated Israel. Your mercy is new to them. God, your mercies are new to me every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And she says in 55, just as you spoke to our fathers, to Abraham. I can give you homework and say, hey, we first meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Mary doesn't have Genesis 12. Mary only has the reminder and the memory of the scripture she has memorized. And out of an attitude of gratitude, she turns and says, God, you've been faithful to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses, to Aaron, to Joshua. And she's listing all of these descendants off. God, you have been faithful to them. You will be faithful to me. You can't stop what God has started. And Mary has learned this. And she's walked to Augusta or to Freeport. She's pregnant. She's tired. She's worried. And she hears Elizabeth give that confirmation. She turns and says, God, I have to worship you. You are the one that's in control. Praise be to your name. You did it from Abraham. You've done it now. And you'll continue in the promises that you have given. Mary stays with Elizabeth about 3 months. Go back. How pregnant is Elizabeth? 6 months. Now, from my doctor and medical degree I get from Chicago Hope watching that tells me, that didn't land, sorry. That tells me that she's going to have a baby. Mary stays there for the delivery of John. She sees John being born, and then she walks back home. She rides back home. And how pregnant is Mary? She's 3 months. She's going to show. After her 3-month, quote, vacation, she's coming back, and she's got a bump. But she's 13. She's unmarried. And she's in a time of proving her purity. And she says, you know what? God's got it. He continues to show himself faithful. She walks in obedience. So the question I have for you and for me is, what would it take for me to turn my worry to worship? As you think about those stresses that we talked about in the beginning in 2022, whether yours was on there or not, what would it take for you to take that grip that you have of worry, of wringing your hands, and you turn your hands and you give up control and you worship the Lord saying, God, it's your show. I'm on for the ride. Is it relying upon the truth of God's word? That you look at God's word and you say, God, you've been faithful. You're not going to stop now. Is it you relying and remembering God's promises? That he brought you this far? Remember God's promises. Or is it you walking in obedience to take that next step? I'd love to talk to Mary and wonder what it was like to walk back from Augusta to Bangor. What was your thoughts? How was it different than walking down? Because Mary, she's remembering God's promises, she's relying on God's word, and she's walking in obedience. Friend, what would it take for you to turn your worry into worship? Lord, we're so thankful for this morning. As we think about the joy of Christmas, there are struggles, there are concerns, there are stresses, there is anxiety. And sometimes that can take the joy out of Christmas. But as we think and we remember Mary, a 13-year-old teenage girl, we've been challenged to remember the truth of your word. And as we go through trials, as we go through crises, may we always keep our focus on Christ. Lord, help us not to look at the earthly, but to keep our eyes on the eternal, which is you and your word. Lord, help us to remember your promises. Help us to remember your faithfulness in the Bible and also in our lives. And Lord, help us to walk in obedience. We're so thankful for Christmas. May it not be a time of worry and anxiety, but may it be a time of worship of the Messiah, the hope of Israel. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.